Hey guys, welcome back to the B-List. I'm B. It's been about 2 weeks. Usually it's like a weekly podcast, but I took last week off. But I'm back with a really special guest. It's a friend of mine that I've met kind of recently, and we've become pretty good friends, talking all the time. She is one of the new Real Housewives of New York City, Jessel Tank. She used to do PR for Michael Kors. She's the founder of The Know, which is a fashion consultancy firm. And she's a Roni. Welcome, Jessel.
Hi, B. I love that you called me your friend. I'm like, wait, I'm Brandon's friend?
Oh, we're officially friends.
Oh, my God. Well, we had dinner, I mean, and that was like our first time meeting ever. But it was the funnest night I've had in a long time.
Shout out to Anthony, who facilitated that meeting, a friend of ours that we have in common.
I know. Anthony hooked it up, and the free-flowing drinks and all the good food was amazing.
Which we're going to talk about the restaurant shortly, because that's actually one of my things on my list, because we talked about my list for later. But first things first, is it there?
Is what there?
Anything. Do people come up and ask you that like all the time now? It's like, that's so funny that's the thing.
It's become a thing that everyone's like, you need to merchandise it. Like there has to be, and is it a t-shirt? It's crazy though, how many, because you know, when you're filming the show, there were things that stuck in my head that I was like, oh, this is going to be a thing and this is going to be a thing. But the things that people are obsessing over are not what I expected, which is so funny to me.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, and I definitely like had a sense of what people would gravitate towards. But it's becoming things that I've said that really I just were said in passing are almost becoming cultural, like, phenomenon.
Yeah.
So random.
Well, the show itself too, and we'll talk about this later because I kind of mentioned to you before, but like the original Roni was obviously iconic in so many ways. This is just like a different show too, but it's interesting that I feel like the show kind of has like a Sex in a City vibe almost now, not necessarily in its format or necessarily in its content, but kind of like the phenomenon around, like, I mean, you guys are already being named like the best dressed women on Bravo. It doesn't feel like it's like really stylist heavy. It's the complete opposite of what Beverly Hills is, because like Beverly Hills is kind of really logo heavy. It's really like, you know, designer label heavy. And I feel like you guys each have like a distinct sense of style, but you come from fashion backgrounds, so it doesn't feel as forced or put on. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And by the way, I made my early error with the logos and noted Jenna Lyons never to do it.
it was giving to read.
It was good. But you're right. I think that, you know, obviously just being in New York, you express yourself through your style.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily have to be the most expensive or the most, you know, flamboyant.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, you're walking down the street, you can see someone who's in jeans and a t-shirt and they...
Jenna,
right?
Yeah.
And she just looks so classy. And that's the beauty of New York. And I walk, you know, every day you're just walking and you're just, the streets are my biggest inspiration when it comes to fashion, truly. Yeah. And I think that's what Sex and the City is, right? Like, and there are things that Carrie wears and I'm just like, wait, I would never have paired those things together and it just works.
I want to, before we get off track, first off, congratulations on the kids. I guess you said that they got their first assignment, right? For school? Is it? Did they? Socially inept?
It started. They are so socially inept, those kids. I don't know how they're going to do in school. no, they did. We're starting to get emails and it's actually wild because...
that could be in a show in itself, by the way, is just like kids.
Oh, I mean, you think that it's an easy process. I would liken it to almost a college application where you have to write essays and submit pictures. And, you know, these kids have like, they don't do anything. They eat, shit, and sleep. And so to write a 1,000-word essay.
And drink wine off the floor.
I loved it. So it was just like, yeah. How do I write an essay? But it's funny because so many people have actually DM'd me and they're curious to see what I ended up submitting. And I'm going to release the essays. I'm very proud of my essays.
Okay.
I'm an English major, so I write. And it was a very creative spin on, you know, a kid's application. So I am going to release that soon.
Did you know, actually, funny fact, Roni was actually started as, originally it wasn't Real Housewives of New York, it was called Manhattan Moms, and it was a show about getting your kids into all the elite private schools and all that of New York. Isn't it kind of, did you know that?
I knew
it
that
kind of started cool. Like that kind of concept.
Yeah, I knew it, that it started with Manhattan Moms, but I didn't realize that it was going to be following that whole process.
That's what I read once, but
yeah,
you know. So gotta be true.
But it wouldn't surprise me.
It makes sense.
As a mom living in Manhattan, it's pretty much all we talk about, you know,
school,
the application process, like even geographically, like a lot of my friends are moving to like the Upper East Side or the Upper West Side just because they want to be in that zip code.
Yeah,
they want to get into like Spence or, you know, those like bigger name schools.
Yeah, they want to get away from Tribeca. It's kind of like struggle town, Tribeca, up and coming.
Oh my God. Well, I got to tell you, Tribeca has some very established, a lot of people are, it's a competition to get into these places. It's wild.
Yeah. So how did the show kind of end up in your lap? Right. I kind of know the background we talked about, but for the listeners that don't know.
Yeah.
How did that kind of.
So NBC and Bravo, you know, when they were doing, when they were actually actively creating the reboot, they wanted to base it around a group of organic friends.
Yeah.
And so I know that they were talking to various different friend groups, and I actually got introduced to the show the producer process through a good friend of mine. And actually she was speaking to them. She ultimately decided not to get involved, but she's someone that I've known for years. We used to work together here in New York, and she's actually one of Bryn's best friends too.
Got it. Okay.
It was like, you know, in New York, especially when you're in fashion, you are like, this is a 1 degree separation from everyone. So like, even with Psy, with Uber,
you kind of knew Uber a bit before, right? You had that friend in common.
Uber, through a mutual best friend as well. And then Jenna's just Jenna, like, who doesn't know her, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny, actually, because Jenna's ex-husband was a set designer, or is a set designer, and used to
family, right?
Photographer. Yeah. He used to design my uncle's like photography sets, which is wild.
So insane. I've met him
like 1,000 times, actually.
Do you find that sometimes that always usually is the case with pilots? This isn't necessarily considered a pilot, right? It's a reboot, but you know, people start out kind of interviewing and then decide it's not for them.
Yeah.
But then once they see everybody that's in their friend group go about the process and actually enjoy it or thrive in it, have you seen anybody in your world that maybe was talking to production that now kind of is kicking themselves or saying maybe in the future?
Yeah, interesting question. I mean, I'm sure I know that they didn't leave any leaf unturned, put it that
way.
Wow.
I know that
there was a very extensive search, because I know it was important for them to find the right mix of people and the right group of girls. So it's funny because I feel like everyone that I know was kind of involved in some capacity, but I'm sure that there was this level of curiosity, like, what is this show actually going to be? Because we are a very modern, very now spin on what Housewives it was traditionally. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of curiosity around like what the show actually is going to be. And now that it's airing and, you know, obviously like so much positive response, right?
Yeah.
So I think that, I'm sure, you know, people are going to turn circle back and be like, hey, now we want to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's usually the case, right?
Yeah, it really is usually the case, but you know, they have to get through us. I mean, we're the gatekeepers.
You know, it's so funny, the people that they interviewed too. I know there's been people on this podcast. Allison Roman was somebody who mentioned that they had asked her once. I think it might've been the season before you guys. Do you know Allison Roman, the chef? New York Times.
I don't.
She was with the New York Times. Yeah. A few other people too, but it's just really interesting the people that they kind of go to. I found out about you. I mean, I knew that you were going to be on the show and all of that stuff, but my first hearing about you outside of the filming process was reading Page Six. And I told you this. I fell in love.
You're really going to bring this up, Brandon?
Everybody's already read it.
I know. It's
Page from Six. It was kind of so like Page Six was covering the like the premiere party at the Rainbow Room. And it mentioned that Jessel Tank, new Real Housewife of New York, vomits on the red carpet on the step and repeat or something. And I was just like, and you were probably mortified by having your first real mention in Page Six as this being that. But I thought it was pretty fucking iconic. And that's pretty.
Let me tell you about. Okay, so there's two things, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I think, first of all, it was mortifying that
yeah,
was
at the moment, I'm sure.
Foray into this like whole world.
Yeah.
I wish I was drunk. That was the headline, that I had drank too much or I was on something. And absolutely the case, I was genuinely sick. But what was funny about that moment was I just remember the next day sitting on my couch, and I really was like completely devastated that that happened to me. I mean, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. Everyone yeah.
was wrong about it. But then the girls, like Cy and Brynn, they started sending me comments. And I think it was like maybe Queens of Bravo or one of those Bravo, you know, fandom were posted the article. And every single comment was iconic, queen, Roni.
Probably I was one of them. Yeah, no.
I was like, what? And Brynn was like, oh my
That's
God,
amazing.
They love you. And I was like, no, what do you mean? This is awful. And that it's so hilarious to me that that was what viewers were gravitating towards.
And I was the like, show hadn't even aired yet.
It hadn't even aired yet.
Isn't but that so amazing fun. Though? I mean, that's probably one of the great things about reality TV though, right? I feel like, would you admit probably, or I guess, I don't know. Would you say that reality TV can kind of give you that thicker skin or make you take kind of an appreciation for these like what would otherwise be terrible moments, but like then the reception can be completely different.
And it was absolutely that. I mean, I really was, I was expecting people to just be like, oh, what a hot mess. Like now we have this complete, like, you know, vomit bucket, like on our TV screens. Like it was the opposite of that. And it was so funny because I really, my PR hat, and listen, A, I'm British, B, I'm Indian. So I'm conservative in the way I think anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that people actually found it iconic was something that I would never in my like wildest dreams have expected.
But I think that's the kind of the great thing about reality TV is it kind of can change the way you maybe, or take a piss out of yourself too. And like,
but I do, like, I think and hopefully people can see that, like, I'm very lighthearted and I can take myself very seriously at all. But I mean, for me to have that moment at the premiere, at the splashy, like, Rainbow Room, and Andy Cohen's there, and there's, like, you know, a room full of beautiful people, and then there's, like, me just, you know, barfing in a corner. Like, not cool.
It was iconic. And I will say, like, that's kind of, like, your vibe is kind of putting it all out there. I think that for the first couple of episodes when we talked about this, people didn't really get, like, a full, I don't think, well-rounded view of you, because there wasn't even that much coverage of you in those first couple of episodes. But then we talked and you said, like, after that third episode, you were like, I think it was like when we went to like dinner or something, but you were like, I woke up today and everyone's been like writing me again, iconic, because it was what? Was it the sit down with Aaron at that?
It was the Tribeca.
Yeah,
it was Tribeca. Yeah, it was. And it was so funny because, you know, episode one, I was really excited about, you know, kind of getting the show out there. We've been promoting it and the build up to the actual, like, you know, season airing was so humongous. And everyone was so excited about it. And then it did air. And I think I've never not been liked before. And I think, I mean, I'm sure people, I'm very polarizing. I'm sure people don't like me, but they've never like right out
outwardly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was so interesting to me because I went into it expecting, you know, everyone to like have this appreciation towards me. I thought I came across as funny. I thought I came across a certain way, but it was the complete opposite. They were like, she's rude. She, you know, is yelling at her husband. She's mean when she's cleaning, and all these things that you just go about your day and you never really think twice about.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that did change. And I think it, you know, look, I don't think you can really know someone after a 10-minute scene, or even after, you know, episode 1, 2, and 3. Like I was acting up, and that was being shown, and that was only being shown, right? So You're like, this girl is so out of touch. But I think as my personality started to come out, you see, I am kooky. I am extremely, I hope, funny and dry in my humor.
Yes.
And I'm very British in that way. I don't take it too seriously.
It's a very much needed like energy in the room, I think, for sure. And I appreciate you putting it all out there, because you're talking about your story with IVF, and you're being like, you're filming a lot with your husband, probably more than any of the other women film with their husbands. You know what I mean? So you're obviously going to be open to more scrutiny, because that's the content that you're going to get. But you kind of remind me a bit of like in the same tradition as like Meredith Marks is kind of the same, like Shannon Bedore or like Heather Gay. They very put it all out there, and it's needed on a show like this. So, you know.
Yeah. And I think, you know, going back to like reality TV, one of the things that my husband and I, Pavit, had actually discussed at the very beginning was like, Okay, if we're going to do this and we're actually going to open our doors and our lives to an audience, to the nation, to the country, like, I'm not going to pretend to be someone I'm not, right? Yeah, like, I think people can see through the cracks. And if you're trying to paint this perfect picture, that's what Instagram's for. It's not what the show is for. And so I think we went into it with that mind frame, like, okay, you know, IVF was a freaking 4-year hell of a struggle for me. And like, I'm going to talk about that. And, you know, postpartum was a fucking nightmare. And I'm going to talk about that. And life with twins is crazy. And, you know, starting back up again with work and just all of that stuff is real shit that I'm dealing with. And so I'm going to take you along for the ride.
Speaking of reality TV, were there other shows that you kind of like love or that you watch currently outside of Housewives that you...
Yeah, so I've never been a Vanderpump girl.
Okay.
Scandal, like... Okay. This year.
I don't watch that show. I think we talked about this. I feel like it's so, I don't want to get the, because when the fans hear this interview, then they're going to get all in my comments, dragging me the way that they dragged you this first few episodes, because I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. But okay.
Well, it was very interesting. I mean, I've never really been curious about it. I think that the media obviously was so invested. So I was like, well, shit, I have to watch it. Yeah. I have to like talk about it to stay current and relevant. so we started watching it, and it actually was kind of insane. Because you see this whole thing unravel like right in front of your eyes, and they were doing it in front of cameras, and it was it was quite the TV.
It's interesting, because I always talk about the show. I mean, I don't really watch it, though, so I'm like, but it's an interesting concept, right? Because it's like built on, predicated on people that work in a restaurant that want to be stars. Yeah. So then they become stars via the show. But in order to stay on the show, they have to continue working at the restaurant. It's like, it's just
you can't do anything else.
It's like 10 years later. It's like 10 years later and Sheena is still, I don't even know. I don't even know why I'm mentioning this girl. I don't watch the damn show.
You make a valid point.
Yeah,
the other show I love, and I, you know, I'm a little bit biased because it is about my culture, but Indian Matchmaking on Netflix.
Okay, you told me about this.
And yeah.
Because I gave you a show that I was like, and just like that, I told you to watch. Everyone, she has my HBO login now. She's watching it just like that.
You're my sugar daddy, because Pavit actually canceled our HBO Max subscription.
He's got to pay for school.
He's got to pay for school. You know, we got 62K deep right now. So
maybe you can put them in a school that gives you a free, they give you a free laptop and then a free membership.
Listen, Pavit is all about the free shit. So I'm sure he'll be very excited about that. But he did cancel my subscription, and I was going to just renew it, but you kindly offered yours. I was like,
Well, you need to watch it because, you know, obviously you're Indian and then you love the woman that plays Seema, and I'm obsessed with Seema. Seema is my absolute favorite, but you only watched one episode so far. That's, keep watching. It gets better and Seema finally shows up, but it's the Seema show.
So funny thing about Seema, I've met her several times. Her real name is Sarita Chowdhury. And Sarita did a movie. She filmed a movie. It was one of the, I would say, it was one of the first movies that really affected me growing up. So the movie's called Mississippi Masala.
So yeah,
But she plays an Indian girl who comes from India, and they move into, I think it's like the South, like one of the Southern states. And she falls in love with an African-American man. So anyone that's listening that is Indian may or may not know, like, that is like probably the, it's very much frowned upon. Like, we don't, Indians marry Indians. And I think that that's kind of, you know, the approved like way to go about life, which is so ridiculous. Right. But she did it. And I was like, oh my God, like, this woman amazing. Like, she's going against the grain. So when I met her, I literally told her, I was like, you inspired all my rebellious decisions.
Oh, I love that.
Growing up as a teenager and an Indian girl. And, you know, she was very early on to break, you know, some of those stigmas and taboos and barriers. And I really respect her very much for doing that.
Gorgeous woman. You sent me, you showed me a photo. You took a photo. Yeah. Was that when you met her? You took
her way before then. And we went fashion week together. We're always running into each other. So
onion stick together.
Yeah, we do, like glue.
So any other Housewives shows that you watched? Did you have any other favorite Housewives specifically? Like,
so the only one I really used to watch was Roni, weirdly. Okay. And you know, I've dabbled in Atlanta. I love Miami. You know, I love the sort of like that feisty energy. Roni was the one that I would actually like pay attention to, just because I was so obsessed with New York and obviously living in New York. And so it felt something like something I could connect to. But favorite Housewives, I mean, obviously Bethany's, well, I don't know so much about now.
She's kind of spiraling, but listen, that's kind of like one of my guilty pleasures right now, I think, is Bethany. People complain about her social media use, and I feel like kind of hot take, I think she's kind of good at social media because you're still watching and you feel mesmerized when she does all these like reviews of like dollar store makeup and whatever it is. I could not care less about the products. I'm just like mesmerized by how intense she is about being correct about everything and learning. It's just like, completely unlikable, but
that's how she got where she is, right? Start, like, she was the single girl who was an aspiring, you know, chef that was living in New York, and her apartment was, you know, this like shoebox, and look at how far she's come. And I don't think you can take that away from her. Like, skinny girl, whatever you want to say about it, she has she's rewritten the rules, which is, you know, admirable.
Speaking of other wives reaching out, so have any other wives kind of like reached out to you since you've become kind of an official, since the show started airing?
Yeah. I just a couple of weeks ago had lunch with Ebony. So Ebony.
Right. Yeah. You said that. Yeah.
And she, you know, I feel like, I think she's awesome, by the way. I think it was wrong place, wrong time for her. And I just really respect her. I think she's extremely smart. And she has, you know, these incredible academic, like, you know, accolades that no one can take that away. But I really enjoyed my time with her. Other housewives, let's see. Sonia, Dorit were amazing. Dorinda's been amazing. I think, you know, I feel like they sort of understand that the time is now for a fresh new, you know, especially women. I don't think that anyone felt any other type of way. And they've been very supportive, I think. At least
has anyone not been welcoming?
I know that to a number of other girls, Luann, I want to say at a moment.
Okay.
but I haven't heard anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you should meet Leah at some point if you ever Do you, yeah, she was on the same time. She's a friend, but yeah, she was on at the same time as Ebony.
Introduce me.
I'll introduce you. Yeah.
Yeah, would love like that. Would love that.
Do you have a least favorite Housewives show?
Interesting. Not really. I think, you know, I love Beverly Hills. I think that they're the most ridiculous in terms of like fashion and lifestyle. And I could definitely like relate to that. I love it. Least favorite though, what are they? I don't even remember like how many there are.
There's like Salt Lake City. You've got OC.
That's probably the one that I don't.
You don't? Really okay. See, I think you would like it. I think that's when, yeah, it's kind of, it's just, I mean, there's, it's completely different show.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a little bit darker, but really kooky, just really out there. It's, I think that with these shows, sometimes the city is the extra cast member. Like the city itself is just like an enigma. Like what is Salt Lake City? You know what I mean? It's just, I watch it mostly because I'm like, I don't understand still.
I get it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So it's like, that's kind of interesting about it. You know?
What do they do there in Utah?
Exactly.
Like, that is not up and coming, let me tell you. but you're so right, because I feel like I gravitate to the franchises that sort of speak to me geographically. Like I think Miami, I can relate to.
Oh, Miami's great. Yeah, yeah.
New York, obviously. And to some degree, Atlanta, you know. But yeah, you're right. Salt Lake City just didn't seem like that the actual city would, you know, resonate with me.
Yeah. I think you would like it though.
Okay. I've been sitting on my couch all winter, by the way, with the amount of TV you're giving.
Yeah, I've got a lot of gut looking like write assignment. It down. There's a lot of homework. Your kids are gonna have homework from school, and then you're gonna have this. So at what point did you feel like you were like officially a Real Housewife? Or does it still feel like not real?
It really doesn't. You know, when I watch I watch the show live every Sunday, and it's a very out of body experience for me, because you're watching yourself, and you know, it's not the real, it's not like you 360, right? Like it's like moments.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like 5 minutes out of filming for 7 hours or something.
Right. So, and obviously how you're portrayed and the things that like have been shown and not shown. I think it's very surreal to me, but I don't know if I will ever feel like a real housewife, because
that's probably good.
Yeah.
You probably want to be in that space. I feel like you want it. Yeah. I think the charm with you guys is that you kind of just are just being, you're just existing, and it doesn't have to be put on. You know what I mean? I think when you start to feel like a real housewife, that's probably when you're probably on your way out.
It's time to
you know
leave.
What I mean? Yeah. It's time to go. You shouldn't, no one should feel bigger than the show.
Exactly.
There's so speaking of cities, there's been a lot of like talk online about like moving from different cities. You lived in LA for a while. Someone mentioned, like, I think it was The Sun mentioned Dallas. I don't know. You were allowed to talk about this. You want to dispel any rumors or anything? Do you want to kind of like, because if anyone's not aware, the US Sun exclusively tried to reveal that Jessel like lived in Dallas right before the filming of the show. And then I don't know.
It was hilarious, because I think I have spoken about this, but it was the same day that Donald Trump's like mugshot was released. And so, like the Sun front page was Donald Trump's orange mug. And then it was my, you know, mug. And it was just like, what the actual, how am I making headlines with this? This is so stupid. It wasn't anything that they like revealed, because it's all on my fucking LinkedIn. Like there's no secret here. But look, I'll take you through my timeline, like cliff notes real quick.
Dispel it, because they're talking about it online. And
I know. And yeah, people just get really them. Are. They're really reaching with this one, which is what I find so hilarious about it. But I moved to New York in 2006. And so did Puppet, actually. We both moved the same month, same year. We met here. I started my career here. And we lived here for almost a decade. And you know, we got married, and things change when you get married, because I think you start to think about a family and sort of, you know, where do you see yourself long-term? Puppet's from LA. And so we did end up moving back, so that he could be closer to his family, and that we have that, you know, that structure, with his mom and his family being there. Mine was still in London.
Yeah.
So we actually thought we would be there long term. Until I have the twins. And let me tell you, when you have kids, everything changes. And for me, it was like, all I wanted was my mom. You know, I just wanted my parents and I needed the help. I also was at a stage in my career where I was thinking about what's next and what am I doing with myself? And we were talking about New York because it would be the perfect like middle ground. You know, it's a 6-hour flight from England, six hours from LA.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's just, my best friends live here. Like all my like old work colleagues, everyone that I've known my entire career is here, and same goes for Pavit. So it just made sense for us. Mm-hmm. But Dallas came into the picture because Pavit actually started, well, he's working with one of his closest friends to start this business, and it's headquartered in Dallas. And so we made a pit stop there for him to kind of get this off the ground. So it was a little bit of a landing pad. And you know, he travels to Dallas, I would say every other week or once a month now. He's always there. So we do have a place there that he, you know, resides in when he's working there.
Which is like not a negative thing, people. It's called being multi-coastal. You can have property. That's kind of a good thing in Housewives world.
It's so funny. They were like, she has a house in Dallas. I was like, yeah, dude, I do. You know, we have property everywhere. I mean, I don't think it's unusual to have multiple homes. In fact, I was telling someone the other day, I was like, if I had a fabulous home in London, like, would it be the same?
Yeah, exactly. That'd be...
Yeah. So anyway, hopefully that clears the air.
That clears the air, everybody. here's a question. Did you know Lizzie in Dallas?
No. So I didn't. I actually met Lizzie.
For those who don't know, Lizzie Savetsky, right? She was briefly on the show. She began filming with you guys. I've always been perplexed by this story. And I don't know how much you are able to talk about it because, you know,
She's
not on the show any longer, but she only filmed for 2 weeks. And then Page Six reported that she quit.
So I only met Lizzie here in New York. And look, I think she's a wonderful person. Honestly, mm-hmm. I think that what she's doing for her community and for the Jewish community is really admirable. But now, knowing what I know now about sort of Bravoverse and how intense it is, I actually respect her decision because it probably would have been very, very hard for her. And it was. Yeah. I mean, we were only a couple of weeks in, and you know, she made this decision that was with her family in mind. And really, that's what it came down to. So
Page Six originally reported that it was because she was feuding with one of the other cast members.
I mean, we feud all the time.
Yeah, so.
Also not new news, people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't really know too much about that, but I do know that ultimately the decision for her leaving did come down to you know, her family and the type of the reception that she was receiving. So, yeah.
I have some theories. I have a theory.
All right.
Not that I know Lizzie or anything like that, but I feel right. So Erin came on the show through Lizzie, right? She didn't really know kind of the rest of the women or as well. So kind of like Lizzie introduced her to the group, introduced her, and then completely dipped. So then Erin stuck with this group of women that she doesn't know that well. And you know, now knowing that seems to be the case, and seeing how we began in the first episode right away arguing about something like cheese, and she was kind of going straight for Bryn, it made me think that maybe there was some kind of stuff there that happened before between, and maybe Erin was kind of, am I making sense?
I definitely understand the theory.
It feel kind of like something, this wasn't just an argument about a bleeped out restaurant, right? It felt like there was something more pointed there. But I guess we'll never know, right? I don't know.
We'll never know. And I got to tell you, I think it really was about the bleeped out restaurant.
Okay. Which was catch, by the way, everyone. Yeah.
I really do. And I understand, like, you're sort of playing catch up, right? Because you're sort of, you know, episode one, you're seeing this thing, this argument that happened before filming started. So I get why people were sort of thrown in this whole mix and why it might have been confusing.
Yeah.
And we had, you know, we had started filming prior to that. So it was, it's a lot to digest. I get it. But Cheesegate was real. Catchgate was real. Mm-hmm. All those emotions were real. So.
Well, speaking of, there's two truths and something not real that we just, that you discussed in one of the episodes in the Hamptons, right?
Yeah.
You said that you made out with a famous rapper. You got a popsicle stuck up your whoop, whoop, and then and then you had sex in a Soho House elevator, which we all know is not true because, well, first off, you said, but then also that's only like two floors, right? Or not, it's like not two floors, but it's a really short ride.
The one in LA is actually a slap.
Okay, okay. So
just FYI. But not, you're definitely not long enough to, you know, yeah, to do
to
the
do
deep.
That. So I have to ask then, because we never confirmed on the show who was the rapper.
You're gonna do me like this, Brandon.
Yeah. Maybe we'll bleep it out like Catch.
I should have asked the questions in advance. I will say.
Yeah. You can give me a hint.
I'll give you a hint. It's not Drake, and everyone sort of jumped to that conclusion.
Oh yeah, okay.
Off, like everyone, even production, were like, "Can we play like a Drake song when that?" And I was like, "You guys, this is how rumors start." I wouldn't have minded if it was Drake. I mean,
No, absolutely not. No.
Definitely a snap.
We love Drake over here.
Love Drake, Drizzy, my boy. But it was someone from The Roots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So well,
I know all The Roots names. So I'm, that's for me then.
Yeah.
You guys can Google it.
I was a backstage hoe, put it that way.
Oh, you know what? You did tell me this. I think I asked this.
Did I?
Dinner. Okay. I think I was just drunk, maybe. You guys just can drink.
Anthony was free flowing. Yeah.
You can drink.
Oh, yeah.
You can hold your liquor.
I'm British. And the funny thing about me is that you will never, and this is why the
page six thing.
Funny. You will never see me drunk, not on the show, not outside the show, because I can take it. And I drink. And Puvett, by the way, is, he can hold his alcohol too. So
yeah.
I learned how to hold my alcohol really by hanging out with him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm not a sloppy drunk by any means.
Who on the show can't handle their liquor?
Ooh, I mean, Erin, she's also like, you know, she weighs like nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think Erin definitely is maybe like a two drink type of girl.
Okay.
Bryn loves to have a
forget that point.
Yeah, a little like, you know, swig, but I've never seen Bryn completely. I mean, she doesn't act up, you know.
Yeah.
And Sai can drink. She loves to dabble.
She used to be a bartender.
Oh yeah? Wait, I didn't even know that about Sai.
Didn't she used to be a bartender? I feel like she talked about it.
She probably did.
Yeah,
she
probably
was. And I feel like she's also had like nine lives. I mean, that girl has done everything.
She's a New Yorker.
Yeah, she's a true New Yorker. But she, and no one's really a sloppy drunk. And then Jenna and Uber obviously don't drink. So.
Okay, yeah. Switching gears real quick. Variety Magazine called you the show's villain this week.
What was that?
What do you think? That's so...
I was like, so confused.
Listen, you may be an anti-hero maybe, but not a villain.
I think I'm the underdog, but not the villain.
Yeah.
It was one of those,
but not the villain. But maybe if someone had seen maybe only the first two episodes or something. I don't know when that piece was written, but no, to me, I mean, in my opinion.
Did I do enough to warrant the V title? Like,
I don't know. It's like, yeah, no, you're definitely more of like an underdog or like a anti-hero, which is still kind of like, it's not a bad thing. It's just like, it's just not your typical hero. But I found that interesting. You know, in my opinion, I feel like Erin would probably be more of a willing villain on the show, or maybe we'll see more in that lane. I don't know. I don't think the good thing about this show is that it can change every week, right? Someone can be a villain every
does. It's very much a roller coaster, and I think it does ebb and flow. And you know, we've seen like episodes 1 to 3, I was probably very like one of the most unliked, and now I think that tide is. Oh, I hope it's tied in. It's changing because I'm like, it's emotional like trauma for me. I'm what's going on? But yeah, I was really kind of surprised at that headline, especially because the writer is we had such a great conversation.
It wasn't like a mean piece. It wasn't like a takeout. But I just found that funny.
Funny, but I think she was smart because I think that seeing that word
headline
people to read the article, but she dispels it in the body of the article, which was a smart way of, you know, kind of just putting it together. But yeah, definitely have never been called a villain before, except for maybe by Puvit.
No, it was a really well-rounded piece. You got to talk a lot about your Indian culture and a lot of that. So it wasn't just on the surface. So that was good.
Yeah.
Do you regret bringing up your sex life with all the other women because they kind of pounced on you so early on in the season and used it as a storyline for themselves? Because when they, it seems almost like when they run out of things to talk about or don't want to talk about in their own lives, they'll talk about what's going on in your life.
Yeah, it's like the elephant in the room, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just you just like point in that direction.
Could I have a drinking game with Jessel's name. Like it, every time they say your name when you're not in the room.
Truly. I expect it to be blown out as much as, you know, it was? No. I think for me, it made sense within the context of what I was going through postpartum and also what I went through to conceive. And so there is like a very, to me, a very sensible reason as to why I was feeling that way and why I was at that point in my relationship. Mm-hmm. And it was justified, in my opinion. It wasn't like I was not giving it up to my husband because I didn't feel like it. Like, yeah. I think it's rooted in something like legitimate, right? But it was very interesting to me that they didn't see it that way. And I have a theory, and it really makes sense to me as to why, and it's very simple. I just don't think that they could understand, because if you haven't gone through what I went through, I can see why they were just like, oh, she's being prude or this or that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a chance to really like talk about it that much. I mean, I shared
with the group.
I shared.
Why would you? I mean, speak about it. So, I mean, if it's like,
I mean, I think after that, I did. You see me sort of shut down a little bit because I was
with
like,
the group. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you react when you saw Aaron and Cy and Bryn kind of falsely spreading that you were crying at your sit down with Aaron at that coffee shop? They were kind of like painting you as a neurotic or no, she specifically, what was lunatic. The verbatim lunatic?
Yeah.
Did you hear her say that when she got up at the table? She called you a lunatic at the time, right?
Yeah, because if I had heard that, guess what? I would have turned right back.
Yeah, back and go sit down.
Yeah, I would have been like, okay, let's talk about Tribeca now. Like, let's talk more about it. Like, let's do up more. No, I didn't hear her say that. And I just feel like it wasn't warranted. You know what I mean? Like, what did I do that was so, like, I think that they thought I wasn't taking accountability, but I did. And so this is what is interesting about the show is you see what you see, but then you also don't see a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I did take accountability. I felt awful about the lingerie thing, you know, to the point where I think I've spoken about this, but I wrote Jenna like an actual like apology letter. Like
on camera?
It was all on camera.
Okay. Yeah.
It was a scene that we shot, you know, that wasn't shown.
So much stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and I did it in private because for me, it's like, if I have a problem with someone, I'm not going to include every single person. There's no need.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like an ABC, it's an A to B conversation and the rest can see themselves out type thing. So, it was very much a private moment between Jenna and I. Maybe that's why they probably thought I didn't apologize.
Unless you're Aaron and then it's not an A B conversation. It's a B and Psy conversation as well. So
yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, it was, she did corral the girls, that's for sure. But look, at the end of the day, for me, it's like, there's always resolution, right? Like, and I knew that Erin and I, we were not seeing eye to eye. We definitely had growing pains and it was a shame. And I was kind of disappointed because, you know, I feel like we have a lot in common. We're both that we're both working. She's, you know, we're both wives. And we're both deeply rooted in our culture. Like Indian, Israeli, it's like the same to me almost, you know, the way we live and how we've been brought up, etc. So, but yeah, anyway, look, I squashed it. I did what I had to do.
You guys are talking now and.
Yeah.
Who do you talk to the most outside of filming?
I would say it would be a mix between Uber and Bren.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, Bryn and I have always been very close. I mean, we share that common friend, and you know, she's someone that she just gets it, like humor wise and otherwise.
Yeah.
And so she's met my family. I mean, she comes over, she plays with the kids. Like, we're very close. And Uber is someone that is just, I mean, dynamite. Yeah. So fun. Yeah. So,
Who do you think is going to have the most to answer for at the reunion?
You know, it's hard to say. I want to see the season kind of like play out. If we're saying like right now, I definitely think obviously Erin's the one that's, you know, stirring this pot.
Stirring the shit.
She's stirring the shit with that wooden spoon. So I want to say it might be her. But you know, the tides can change, and
anything can happen.
Yeah, anything can happen. It's an even playing field right now.
Sai kind of comes off a bit of a... I like Sai, though, but she kind of comes off like, what is the word I'm looking for, the term that people use? It's like an interview gangster. Is that what... a testimonial warrior, whatever. Like, she talks a lot when she's not filming. She has a lot to say in her testimonials, which is like good. Like, it's like kind of like a Bethany talking head moment. It's like... Yeah. But I think that because it's so much of her opinion on those interviews and not face to face, it could be something that she kind of has to answer for, but we'll see.
I think she's really, I mean, Sai has a humor, like she's got a funny bone, that girl. Like, she's very witty. And she is very playful in the way that she like talks about things. So it's funny to me that, you know, I've been seeing that people are saying she complains and this and that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I really don't. I really think that they need to understand her humor in the same way that they need to understand mine. You know, it's not serious. Nothing serious. Like, it's all jokes.
Are you looking forward to the reunion?
No, I.
You're not.
I'm fucking hiding behind Andy Cohen. I was like,
you're going to be fine.
I don't know.
I'm mostly looking forward to what you guys are going to wear more than most casts, because I feel like you guys are, well, quite literally in the fashion world. So I feel like you guys are just going to kind of understand it on a different level. You're going to understand the theme or the assignment, you know?
Oh, I'm going to be so extra. I don't know what I'm doing yet. I just know, like, I'm going to bring it, and they may need to like change my seating situation, because I just want to wear something big that like also acts as like a bodysuit, so that no one can come at me.
Is there anybody that you would want to sit next to at the reunion?
Oh man. Okay. So my ideal sandwich, I think it might be a cross between either Jenna and Uba.
Okay.
Or Bryn and Uber.
It's a funny couch.
It's a funny couch.
That's a funny couch, yeah. Either way, that's going to be funny.
That'll be a hilarious couch. I think Jenna and Uber, because of the fashions, would be there. Even Zach, somewhere in that mix. But yeah, that I would love to be a sandwich between
someone you absolutely would not want to sit next to?
Not really at this point. Ask me again. Like,
we'll check back in.
Let's have this conversation in a couple of weeks, and I think my view might change. But no, I think I would be happy to sit next to any of the girls, to be fair. But I think my ideal scenario would be like Jenna.
One of those.
Yeah, Jenna Uba or Uba Bren. I think that's
the fun couch. Whatever. I want that couch. Yeah. I want to head over to the bonus episode so we can talk a bit about. I want to do superlatives with your cast, so you can tell me what you think. And I just want to talk about the cast trip.
Yeah.
So before we go, though, there was right before I got on here, there was like news. I guess they've been reporting it all day. I think it was like even Entertainment Tonight was talking about it. Real Housewives of Atlanta apparently is going to experience a Roni type of reboot. I don't know if this is like true, but I mean, Entertainment Tonight's talking about it. E! Was talking about it. What's your initial thoughts on it? Do you think that excited for them? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that after a franchise has, you know, run 10 years plus, it might make sense. But at the same time, I don't think Atlanta got as dark as maybe Roni did. You know, I think the ratings for Atlanta are still very much there.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see what ends up happening. I don't have any insider intel, and I
yeah.
say the same as everyone else. So, but I, you know, it'd be very interesting to see if they do something and what they do. But whatever they do, I hope that they keep some of them. I mean, you know.
Or give them like a legacy show too.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
And let's be honest, are people really watching Legacy? Like, is that?
I don't. Well, it's not out yet, right? So.
Yeah. Well.
It's not out.
But even like the crappy, like I just don't know how.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like.
I'll be honest. I gave up. But I also have a lot of shows. You know me. You know. Yeah, you have
a lot of shows.
Yeah.
I'm glad you don't have kids, Brandon, because I think your TV game might be like severely like.
Yeah.
If it was the case.
But I think we're safe there.
Yeah, you're definitely. You can have mine if you want. I'll give you mine.
I would read babysit so you and Pavitt can go out. Let's head over to the bonus. I want to talk about those things. Do you want to tell anyone about what you've got going on coming up with The Know or any other projects or anything like that?
Heading into Fashion Week, so that's going to be awesome. Uh-huh.
And Diwali's coming up too.
Diwali's coming
up. Diwali.
Diwali. So yeah. I'm actually hosting with a number of amazing other people what is going to be the Diwali Met Ball. So I'm very excited for that.
Awesome.
Happening in November, and it's going to be a fashion runway. I mean, super, super cool things. And then I'm launching my e-commerce platform that I've been working on for a few years now, but it's finally coming together, and I'm basically bringing to the forefront Indian, Middle Eastern, and Asian designers that maybe have heard of, maybe you haven't heard of, but giving them a platform to really be present in the US and the UK market. So
it's really a spot for that. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Guys, go to patreon.com/thebelist to subscribe to the bonus episode. We're going to talk about so much more. And yeah, yay. See you guys soon. Thanks, Jessel.